Welcome to the Aphorist. It is Sunday, April 28th.
Be dirty.
Be dirty?
It's an oblique strategy.
It's an oblique strategy.
I don't know if these are his original.
This is Aphorist number one, Jesse Holding. Joining me with Aphorist number two, Anthony Ryan. We are in my soon-to-be not office anymore at Kala Art Institute in Berkeley, California.
He called me into his office.
Yeah, we have to have a talk. First, we should apologize to our listener for not recording.
Why?
With the regularity that we had promised in our last podcast.
Yeah, they don't care.
They may. We don't know. I don't know. People have been sending some nice feedback lately. It's been nice.
Sorry to suggest that you don't care.
Right, no. We
know you care.
We know you care.
Listener, dear listener.
Dear listener. But it's been a bit crazy. I am moving to Hawaii in August. Anthony's shedding a little tear. It's going to be okay, man. It's going to be okay.
I'm very anxious about this.
But it's
change.
Change.
I don't like change.
But and then I just got back from Minnesota, where I was the junior year reviewer of I reviewed the junior year art majors at Carleton College, my alma mater, which is really fun. You get to work with college students all the time. It must be both interesting and slightly crazy making.
Yeah,
these group of kids were. I know, they felt very,
It's kind of, it's what I imagine, having children is like.
Yeah.
I've said before, you love them, but you also want to smack them up outside
right,
the head on
right.
a regular basis.
Yeah. The millennials, they're an interesting generation. But some of these kids were really, thoughtful and sophisticated.
Millennials.
Some of these kids were really thoughtful, very sophisticated.
Global teens.
And then they were like, global teens, that's a great...
My friend Mary said, don't forget to drink your global teen.
So, anyway, it was good. It was good. It was fun to be back at Carleton.
That's awesome.
I got to be in a... I stopped in Boulder, Colorado on my way out and visited my
other
family.
Did you eat at Dot's Diner?
I did not.
Oh, dude.
I don't know about Dot's Diner.
Why didn't you call me for breakfast toast when you were in it?
I didn't know you had...
I used to live there, right?
I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah. In Boulder, Colorado?
Huh?
You lived in Boulder?
Yeah.
Huh. It's funny, like, it seems
like 10 months.
We have a lot of, overlap in our, unintentional overlap in our Venn diagram.
I've never been to Minneapolis or Minnesota.
But I sailed to Block Island and stayed the night at the place that you worked
at
Dead Eye Dicks.
And what year do you figure that was? I was there in 1990.
And I was there in 2012. August of 2012.
Oh.
Anyway, just many years later, we're just going over the same places. It's just funny.
Weird. Yeah, it is weird.
So we're, life...
You
life
flew through Denver and went to Boulder.
I stopped in Denver, because flying Frontier to go to Minneapolis, you have to stop in Denver.
Yeah.
And so my aunt picked me up in Denver, and we drove back to Boulder, hung out, went. It was a huge snowstorm, so I got to experience
cool.
a blizzard. I don't know if it's a blizzard, but it snowed 8 inches. Does that qualify as a blizzard?
That's so classic Boulder.
Yeah.
To have an 8-inch snowstorm. No, that's a snowstorm, but that happens there.
Right.
Like you'll have 8 inches of snow in
and then it just
in April, and then it'll be 65 degrees the next
day. Yeah, basically that's what happened.
Yeah, that's a cool place.
So we got to go for a nice hike. We went for about a 4-mile hike.
Too many white people, though. Makes me uneasy.
Agree. True in Minneapolis, too.
I like being around that many white people.
I don't like to consider myself a placist, but I definitely feel like I'm making a move in the right direction by moving to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, weather and company-wise, demographic-wise, it feels good.
Mm.
So, but I'm also really looking forward to not being in a super urban setting like Oakland anymore, and not driving my car anymore as far. And anyway, it's all good. But getting there is going to be there's a lot to do to get there.
Yeah.
It's a crazy amount of disruption in life, but it's all for the good. So.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm dying to hear about your bicycle situation. Get this whole story.
Oh, God.
Dude, break it down. Like, any word back from the Popos?
No.
So set the scene. Jesse, okay. So what the scene? Set the scene.
So you're, first of all, so a year ago I got hit by a car.
Right.
Smashed in my face. I lost 5 of my front upper teeth.
Cracked your jaw. Hairline.
Never to be seen again.
Yeah.
You know, broke my lower jaw. Had to be wired. Blah 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 blah.
It was. Brutal.
And I have this ongoing epic dental saga of getting. I'm still in the midst of getting like some teeth that I can live with for the rest of my life. So I currently have these.
Chicken
implants, these mahjong tiles, as Dennis says.
Mahjong!
I don't know. It's just, like, I don't know. The dental lab, like, you know, delegated my teeth to a minimum wage employee, I guess. And they made these crazy teeth.
Yeah.
Which are kind of functional, but, you know, after me making some noise gently, because I actually love my dentist very much.
Right.
He's a very sweet guy. But I was just like, you know, this is not. So anyway, we're making new ones. So in the meantime, the implants I currently have are in with temporary glue.
Right.
And they, or whatever, epoxy. And this one just started falling out on a weekly basis.
Jesus Christ.
So I'll be, like, eating a piece of toast and my front tooth will fall out.
Nice.
And then I have to, like, jam it up there with fucking, like denture glue.
Right,
basically.
Right. Pepsodent.
In order to get through the day. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Fixident. Anyway, so I was going on one of my many trips, my standing appointment, with my dentist to go get my tooth glued back in. I was leaving. He's in the Castro district, and ironically, I'm like, I have this route that I think is very responsible and, like, safe,
mm-hmm.
where I go up this side street onto Market Street. If people don't know this intersection, it's another one of the many, like, total clusterfuck intersections in San Francisco where, like, a diagonal grid meets a
square
grid,
right?
You know, just like totally designed for car traffic exclusively, probably 50 years ago, and and actually on this intersection is notorious. There have been some high profile actually car accidents there. I remember like 3 years ago, somebody came down Castro, mm-hmm. crossed Market. I don't know, it was like a senior citizen or what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
Just the bike?
No, this was... I was going to get to the bike, but this was a guy in a car.
No, I don't remember.
Careened through the intersection. I think it might have been, like, the brake accelerator confusion.
Right. Classic.
And plowed into 3 parked cars.
Uh-huh.
They fucking exploded.
Oh, my God.
The guy was killed.
Oh, my God.
Like, right there on Castro Street.
Like some Michael Bay
shit. Like, in front of Sliders.
Right.
Like, burned the front of a storefront.
Wow.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Like, that was maybe 3-4 years ago. Maybe more.
Yeah.
And then about a year ago, some jag-off spandex wearing bike rider dude
who
was just back on his trying to beat his Strava time.
Yeah. Killed that.
Strava?
It's a website that measures your speeds and everything like that. You enter your, you know, you download your GPS to the website, and it, like...
You kind of try to beat... It's competitive.
Right, exactly.
People try to beat other people's times
on the
same route. And, like, there actually were a couple of incidents. One guy up on Grizzly Peak riding his bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't really know, but there's, like, you know, there's speculation that in trying to beat his Strava time, he, you know, basically turfed out and got hit head in a bike on the car convincingly.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. That was up Grizzly Peak last year, too. So, anyway... This other numbnut riding his bike, coming down, same direction, coming down Castro, crossing Market, trying to beat the light on his bicycle, and a gaggle of pedestrians came out, and instead of, like, laying his bike down or turning or braking or yelling like a human being, he just decided to And the guy wrote in a blog post that you could read that he's since deleted.
Right.
Under advice of fancy criminal lawyer that he hired because he's some, like, internet millionaire.
Right.
Killed, like, an older 85-year-old Asian guy. Yeah, knocked him over and cracked his skull open.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a notorious intersection.
Right.
For crazy traffic. And I'm, like, in the right-hand turn lane headed towards downtown on Market Street.
Right.
There's two lanes of traffic. They're coming down the hill. Market Street is practically a freeway up there.
Right.
People are going really fast. It's windy downhill, like roller coaster from Twin Peaks.
Right, right.
And then it's like where it enters, basically Upper Market, which is a commercial strip with muni lines and a lot of pedestrians. Yeah. So it is a transition zone.
Yes.
From one type of traffic to one type of driving to another.
Yeah.
So I come in on this little side street. It's a right-hand turn lane. It's this odd little thing where there's some transit tracks that go into a tunnel there that is defunct.
Right.
And it's a right-hand turn lane for traffic coming down the hill from Market, headed towards downtown to turn onto Castro.
Got it.
And my intention was to continue on Market Street. So what I do is I just ride, you know, I'm very careful. I look up the hill. I make sure there's no traffic coming. I get into that lane.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do. You know, I ride up to the crosswalk. It's a red light. And I stop at the red light.
Because... Yeah,
that's and what I could enter traffic, I suppose, you know, but I feel like it's safer for me to be in the right-hand lane. And there's no bike lane or anything. There's nowhere to be.
Right.
So I'm there. I'm sitting there waiting. This woman, like, zooms down Market Street, pulls up right behind me, and just leans on the horn.
Uh-huh.
Get the fuck out of the way, you know. And I'm there on my bike.
Meaning she's going to take a right on red?
She wants to take a right on red.
Right.
And I'm blocking her way.
And you want to go straight.
It does have a right turn arrow. It's a right turn only lane. It's true. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. So like...
So I guess you could have shifted left one lane to split the difference between the right turn lane and the lanes that are going straight?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, which I might have done if this person wasn't such an animal.
Yeah.
You know, and I basically turned around and said, I may have used profanity, I don't know.
Right, yeah.
But I basically said, you can wait for the light to turn green.
Yeah.
As this woman's yelling at me. Then she keeps yelling at me, keeps leaning on her horn, and she actually inches up towards me to where her bumper is practically touching the rear wheel of my bicycle.
Right.
Which to me is just... That's just, you're a sociopath at that point.
Yeah.
If you're, like, threatening somebody with a car who's on a bicycle.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to budge at that point. No way.
Right.
And then, sorry. I sound like a raving crazy
person.
No,
dude, please. You're not crazy. You're good.
So, and then I turn this over and over in my head. It's like, what is this target on my back, like, to attract this type of behavior? Like,
right.
I honestly think it's just that I'm assertive. As a cyclist, I'm assertive. I feel like I'm very law-abiding. Mm-hmm. I've always have been to a degree as a bicyclist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more so after my accident. Like,
right.
I'll ride with Josh Warren.
Yeah, yeah.
our studio mate.
Yeah.
And, like, he sails through red lights, and I stop behind, like, you know, the two cars that are parked in the stoplight.
Right.
And I'm just like, bye, Josh. See you at practice. See you later. And he's just like,
what the fuck,
matter,
man?
Dude?
Why are you even... Yeah, right.
And that's a whole other thing. It's funny how people are like, you find... This is nothing on Josh, because this is kind of universal. But, when you... Like, I always, through this traumatic experience, you know, that upended my life for a year.
Yeah.
And it's altered my behavior.
Yeah.
And I ride with people that haven't had that experience.
Right.
And they, you know, don't wear helmets, won't have a light at night.
Right.
I have friends who will ride their bike drunk.
Right.
And I'll, like, be like, well, what the fuck are you doing that for? And
right.
You realize it's not real to people.
Yeah.
There is this, we're all guilty. It's very human.
Totally.
It's like, if you haven't experienced the thing, then it's like, well,
that's
the cliche is that'll never happen to me. And it really is.
It's hard to.
It's a story we have to tell ourselves, I think, just to get through life. Like, that will not happen to me. Because if I think that'll happen to me.
Right. then I can't
I have to
leave
think
the
about
house
that about the every, other litany of things.
Right,
that,
right, yeah.
Well,
totally.
That
no, I totally. I mean, I feel the same thing after having my surfing accident and like destroying my back and not being able to walk for, you know, not being able to feel my leg for 2 months. You know what I mean? It was like
you get a sense from people that there's this distance. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And you just, yeah. If, unless you've had some kind of like major physical trauma, it's hard to understand. You know, and sometimes I'm just like, I can't. I just my body's not up to it right now. And you look fine.
Right.
What's wrong? But
right.
It's just like, yeah, I have nerve damage. I can't move
right,
right now. You
right.
know, I mean, there's no way I can surf right now. There's no way I can do X, you know, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to give up on a lot because you just know the limits, whether they're physical or psychological, you know. But you're like, you have a new calculus, right? It's not worth it to me to fudge whatever I can get away with fudging on a bicycle that you would
mm-hmm.
never do in a car. Or on, or maybe on foot, because just like you, there's a you have a vulnerability now that you're
so
you know,
much
sort of
you're essentially yeah. invisible to most people, especially
yeah.
that since
right.
half the people on the road are actually not driving; they're staring at their phone.
Right.
Not half.
Well, I don't know.
But
what
if,
the
I
number
see,
is,
if I see if I see six cars go through an intersection,
right.
At least one, probably two of those people will be looking down at a phone while
right.
they're driving.
Yeah. No,
that's where we're at right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, man. It's scary.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you're at the light. She's beeping. She brings
beeping,
her, she drives
then, like,
her car up to you.
And, you know, it's happening pretty quick. And there was a motorcycle in the left-hand lane next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy turns around and starts saying to her, you better calm down and stay in your car because he's going to call 911 and you're going to get arrested.
Right.
If you keep this up.
Right.
And he, to me, he was just like, get that license plate, take a picture.
Right.
You know? And, at that point she gets out of her fucking car. It's a crazy woman. Like dark sunglasses.
Yeah.
And, she fucking comes up and like just pushes me like, you know, the full weight of her body, like off my bike. And so I step away from her. You know, I'm not engaging with her physically.
Which is like an incredible amount of restraint that I can't imagine ever possessing.
Yeah, like how did I not just swing at her?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's the question.
I mean, it's like a 50-something-year-old woman.
Oh! Was
like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It just happened so fast.
Well, and also you don't. Yeah, that's just staggering.
I was kind of fumbling for my phone, probably.
Uh-huh.
I'm shaking because my adrenaline's
so pumping. Yeah.
And so now my bike just falls in the street, and I'm standing next to it.
Uh-huh.
And I think at that point she realizes she's like crossed a line because I'm not engaging her.
Right.
And now my bike is in the street in front of her car.
Right.
And she hasn't, whatever she thought she was going to accomplish by doing that, was not accomplished.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
she
I give
gets,
her.
She's
I mean,
screaming at me.
Yeah.
She gets back in her car. Oh, no. But then, like, then she. I'm standing in front of her car just
taking pictures
of
her phone. Yeah. With your phone. Yeah.
Yeah. And my bike's laying there in the intersection in
right.
front of her car. She backs up. Fucking crazy person. Backs up. Noses the motorcyclist out of the intersection. And he was actually. You know, again, it happened so fast, but my sense was that he was actually trying to use his motorcycle to, like, sort of
boxer
prevent her
right.
egress, but, like, she, like...
The light had changed at this point, or...?
No, it was still red. And actually, I was looking at my photographs. There were pedestrians in the crosswalk. And
uh-huh.
She was, like, now determined to, like, go into the left-hand lane to take a right turn around me.
Wow. She's diving into it for real.
Yeah.
That's her,
and,
that's her vanity plate is diving into it.
Diving into it.
Yeah.
Which is also her Twitter handle.
Oh, you found her?
Oh, I found her.
Fuck, dude.
I know exactly who she is.
Who is she?
She's a fucking... She's not currently... she's not currently recognized by the California Bar, but she's a goddamn attorney, dude.
Are you shitting me?
Yes. She used to work for the city attorney's office.
Wow.
In San Francisco. She's currently... This is... Digital age. She actually does not have. She doesn't have the kind of footprint that even you or I probably have.
Right.
She doesn't have a personal website or stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she's there's a picture of her.
Uh-huh.
That's her.
Yeah.
She's involved with like dog rescue.
Uh huh.
She is enrolled in a degree program at SF State for geriology.
No way.
I guess so she can be, you know, a caseworker for, like, elderly people.
Wow.
And what else did I learn about her? Yeah, she used to work, she was, like, a deputy attorney in the city's attorney's office. Who she used to work for, the Workers' Compensation Board.
Wow, dude. That's fucking awesome. So hold on. So you get these pictures. You go to the. So then you're.
So I'm
like,
standing on the corner, and suddenly traffic moves. Everyone's gone. Oh, there was a guy from the DPT, Department of Parking and Traffic.
Yeah.
Who was watching the whole thing and who wrote her license plate down? I didn't get his badge number.
Oh fuck.
But it was because it was literally like, I pick up my bike. This woman. Oh, she tried to run me over when she drove away. By the way. She's basically trying to fucking run me over.
Yeah.
While I was standing on the street taking a picture of her.
Wow.
Which to me is more alarming than the getting out of the car thing.
The whole thing is really alarming.
Yeah.
But, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's
there's
like, an
like
assault
I don't, it's
with, you know,
with a deadly weapon. I mean, it's...
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a double... I mean, she assaulted you. She assaulted you by pushing
you
on your bike.
She literally did, yeah.
Yeah.
Causes an unsafe situation for herself by getting out of her vehicle.
She could have gotten killed by you.
By me or another car?
Right.
Like,
or,
it's
yeah,
like crazy shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, and it happened so fast. And
right.
The next thing I know, I'm like standing on the side of the road, you know, just like shaking like a leaf. And everyone's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm just this asshole fucking standing.
On the corner.
You know, just had, like, the integrity of my body and my safety,
right,
like, violated,
right,
you know,
right.
And I'm just, like, I just start calling 911, and it's, like, I'm on hold.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, fuck, I'm just going to drive down to the, I rode down to the Valencia police station.
Yeah.
And I filed a report.
Mm-hmm. And what did they say?
They're very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a little cop attitude at first, but
mm-hmm.
They checked my record and saw I wasn't. Criminal, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, gave them all the info. And I've called them since then. They said the case will be assigned Monday morning.
Okay.
If it is.
Right. Well, I guess we got to find out.
Yeah.
And then make a decision about how to proceed.
Case number.
You do have a case number. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for it.
Because I call when I...
Yeah.
So I figured out who she is because her vanity plate is like she uses it as an email address.
Right.
She's
diving into it at Gmail.
Yahoo.
At Yahoo. Nice.
And she's also, dear listener, D-I-V.
I-N.
And, no, D-I-V-N numeral 2 I-T.
Yeah.
At Twitter.
At Twitter.
Or at Dive Into It.
Yeah.
Zero followers. Zero following.
Yeah. Following
but
zero.
But her name, her surname is up there.
Oh, really?
Which I'm not saying right now.
Right. Well, I guess we'll make some decisions
about... Her full name is up there.
Right. I guess we'll have to make some decisions about how to proceed once we find out what the SFPD are going to do.
Yeah. I'm. I want to fuck with her life.
Yeah. Big time.
I
want
to mess her whole thing up.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, dude.
She's a freaking animal.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I guess...
I mean, it is... since I know her street address...
It's like, oh, awesome.
It's like all I can do to not go up there with my 1-pound sledge and just go to town on her car.
Yeah.
But I'm waiting for the rule of law and the wheels of justice.
Yeah, totally. Good call.
Can we pause for a second?
Yeah. So, wow.
Sorry,
dude.
I swore a lot.
No, it's all right. It's an explicit podcast. Well, dude, I mean, that's just a fucking crazy story. I can't believe that happened. And I'm so glad that she didn't cream you. I don't know what I would have done in your situation, but I'm
think
glad
you would have. Probably knocked her teeth down her throat.
Probably. I mean, I remember when... I mean, it's been years since I used to ride everywhere. Amanda had the... When we first moved to California,
yeah.
We only had one car. Amanda drove the car, and I rode my bike everywhere. And I mean, I remember getting into fights, like actual yelling matches with like bus drivers on Telegraph Avenue.
As a bicyclist. And you were a little pumped, so maybe you were younger.
I was younger.
You were more aggro.
I was super aggro. I was going to the gym every day. I was a fucking monster. But I had this very clear memory.
True, I remember when I was working construction, I was a little buffer than I am now. Yeah. It's a hair trigger.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I definitely did not have a deficit of testosterone.
Yeah.
But I remember, that stuff is
poison.
I remember this moment, this bus, me and this, you know, there's a bicycle lane on Telegraph Avenue when you're riding.
Chemically neuter the male race.
That's right. I would ride down Telegraph Avenue in the bike lane, and the bus would like cut in front of me to pick people up.
Yeah.
And I'd have to go around them, and like this driver just was fucking with me. I mean, he was just like totally fucking with me.
Yeah,
and they have that little window. They have that little window on the side on their driver's side and their left side. So after like the eighth time,
I
pulled up and I put my hand in the window and I screamed into the bus. Like,
wow.
I said, like, I have a right to this fucking road too. And I'm not, you know, like, I just was like, I went bats on this driver. They gave me a wide berth after that.
Oh, so, effective.
Yeah. But I mean, I used to like, you know, do stupid shit. Like, I mean, if someone was fucking with me, I would ride up, like when we'd get to the red light, I'd ride up and I'd just stop and put my hand on their front of their car. Like, I'd rest, you know, I'd stay clipped into my pedals, and pull up alongside on the driver's side and put my hand on their, like, the front of their bumper.
Yeah.
Waiting for the light to change. And when the light would, and just be like, here I am, motherfucker, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're 230 pounds and clearly not giving a fuck. People just tend to like
back off.
Yeah, they tend not to fuck with you. But I don't recommend that behavior. And I'm like, I've also punched cars as I've been riding next to them. You know, so
I've been like, I know motorcyclists keep their. I don't know how universal this is, but I heard they keep like a stash of ball bearings.
Oh yeah, just to whip at people
in their like riding jacket. Yeah. Huh.
That's funny.
If you're going fast, you can do a number on somebody's windshield.
Throw it over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. That has just a lot of like potential for, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's
I don't know if you were on a bicycle, if you could get, if there'd be enough speed
velocity.
Involved
to actually do damage. But then like, you know, actually
then it could bounce and hurt somebody.
Right. But not too long ago, I was riding on San Pablo Avenue, which was, I guess, last summer, and I got into it with a car, and the guy was like, then started chasing me. And I was just like,
yeah, full-on road rage.
What am I doing? You know, like, not only could this guy just run me over, but he could have a gun. You know, I don't know. It's like, I don't want to die over just being, you know, over this guy. I mean, he was being an asshole to cars too. I just happened to be in a similar situation. I happened to be in his way, when I was riding. And so, it's just incredibly scary. And, you know, I always have given bicyclists as much leeway as I can, just having been that way, you know, having been a cyclist for so long. And then obviously your experience has definitely, you know, colored my driving habits. But anyway, it's really scary. I'm glad nothing worse happened to you, because was bad what happened. But
it's fucked up,
bro.
I mean, it's like I was really angry for a few days.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, it just brings you back to that. And it's a nothing, you know what I mean? It's the thing is that there's no stakes for her. She has to wait for 5 fucking seconds for the light.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no stakes. It's not like, you know what I mean? But it could destroy your life for a year or forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that's the thing is, just there's like, there's such an asymmetry and there's no reason, you know?
Like,
it feels so
useless.
There's
one thing
worthless.
To like,
senseless, I guess.
Whatever. You know, yeah it's like, I understand that there are people that just don't think bicycles belong on the road. And there are, maybe she's encountered, I don't mean to give this person any quarter at all, but like, you know, maybe she's encountered bicyclists that were assholes. You know? But like, just in that moment, you know, to like, yeah, to realize that I was actually behaving really responsibly. Like I was sort of, I was stuck. Even if I like stopped on the other side of the crosswalk, she probably would have been able to turn. You know what I mean? It was just the fact that I was really being conscientiously like legal in my use of the road. And accepting or, you know, but hoping like, for or expecting a reciprocation amount of respect.
But if she had rolled, instead of beeping at you, if she had rolled her window down and said, "Pardon me, sir, if you just shifted your bike over a little bit, then I could take this right on red. Would you be willing to do that?" I have a feeling that you would have said...
I probably would have. Yeah, or I might have even... If she even, like, just gave a gentle beep on the horn, I might have even pulled forward, like I was describing.
Yeah.
But just the fact that she so aggressively pulled up behind me to intimidate me with her car.
It's just no...
I was just like, I'm not budging. No way.
And I've been in situations where I've been there, and there's been a bicyclist there, and... you know, they look over at my, they look over at me and I just, you know, I just would wave and say like, you know, I mean, we're good, you know?
You're
and then sometimes they just, you know, they pick their bike up and shovel over. And then I go and I say, thanks for doing that. It's, you're a swell chap, you know?
But so, right hand,
you know, I just like, you know, there's no, there's just no reason to, there's no reason to intimidate a bicycle in your car. It's just,
It's sociopathic behavior.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Well, I'm, so anyway, my response is like, I think, because I really do feel like I'm very responsible in my use of the road as a cyclist, and like I just feel like it's helping evolve my views of like cycling and like. So I think I'm gonna be more involved. In fact, I went to a meeting yesterday for the Polk Street redesign.
Cool.
It's going to be redesigned to be more pedestrian and bicycle friendly.
Right.
My ideas about it are evolving. Like, I don't, I disagree with the San Francisco Bike Coalition's, like, get everybody on a bike thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're still at a stage where, in order to use a bike, I mean, I'm, like, living proof of it. You basically, you are an activist, and your body is
the,
your statement.
The battle zone, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so you are at literally putting your body, life and limb, out there on the street to make a point.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you can expect the, a normal person to do that.
Right, yeah.
But you can, if you make streets safer to walk on, if you make transit better, you can get people out of their cars.
Yeah.
You just get people, just get more people out of their cars.
Right.
Or just like have people realize like, oh, if I go, if I go downtown on BART or if I go to,
Now there's a lot of things, You know, oh, and I got to tell you about, my friend Stacy sent me a picture of, and a report, from downtown in the morning. Now, I guess someplace, like she lives, I mean, she works at like 3rd and Market near there, downtown area. So apparently now there's, there are police officers on the corner stopping pedestrians from walking when the countdown starts, you know, like, so they let them walk, like they make, they're enforcing the pedestrian rules downtown in certain intersections now during rush hour. Which I was so stoked to hear about.
Oh, I was going to say, when are they going to start, like, ticketing people for gridlocking intersections?
Right. Well, they're trying to
beat the light.
I think, I mean, I think they're just managing,
in New York.
They're managing the intersections now during rush hour, which is interesting. Because part of the reason that people block the box is because they can't, you know, like I've said, like, pedestrians walk until zero, which makes it impossible to turn. So... I mean, this is our age-old fight, or conversation.
I mean, like,
I
think probably, I'm going to say half the people driving around Market Street at rush hour, if they had, if they could rethink their lives for 5 seconds, they maybe wouldn't be doing that.
Totally. I totally agree with that. Well, look, and look, I am fucking done with city living. I am moving to Hawaii in August.
I can't
wait to just be, you know what I mean? Like, the gridlock I'm talking about is going to be, like, in the surf lineup, you know, like I'm ready to make a life change.
I bet there'll be some gridlock in.
Yeah, but you know what?
In Kona.
In Kona, I mean, people are so chill there, dude. People are like those chipmunks. It's like after you. No. After you. No.
Dude. Did I ever tell you my story?
Oh, that. Yeah.
The guy in.
Yeah, but that wasn't a traffic situation, was it? This was.
Well,
what was this?
It wasn't exactly.
In a natural. Is this
Mahalo.
The Oh, really? Maybe it was a tourist.
No, this guy was a native, I'm pretty sure.
And what did he, what happened?
Well, we were staying, there's really cool A-frames near Kilauea.
Uh-huh.
That you can stay at.
Yeah.
And it's actually really cool. You go to the hotel and you get your bedding and then you stay in these little A-frame cabins. So we're there and we got a bottle of wine to have with dinner, not our dinner. And I go to this guy next to us and I'm like, do you have anything to open a bottle of wine with?
Uh-huh.
And he looks up and he's like, I have a gun.
Wow. Nice.
So I'm like, okay. Thank you.
I don't think the gun would... You want to shoot the bottle?
Yeah, I'm confused about your plan.
Right.
Maybe you do just things differently.
Right. It's like that Simpsons episode where they were doing
everything with
guns.
But you know there's hostility there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For sure. I'm not saying it's like all... it's not
no,
all...
No, it is not all. Right. I've encountered both ends of it.
But I have...
The nicest people I met were the at the Transvestite Bar in Hapuna.
Uh-huh.
When we stayed behind the Transvestite Bar in Hapuna.
Nice. Is that when the Gardner propositioned you?
No, that was in Captain Cook.
Nice. Hello, that's Mahalo.
That's Mahalo.
Yeah, no, I'm not. It's not utopia, but it's a definitely different situation. I've had, you know, I've only been there probably a total of 4 weeks, but have had no drama at all. Whereas I can't say that. I can't take any 4 week period in Oakland and San Francisco and say that I've had no drama.
I think Hilo is another story.
Yeah.
There's a lot of drugs there.
Yeah. No, there's definitely some. Ride or die, Kona.
My,
straight up Hawaiians.
I told you my cousin was a special ed teacher in Hilo for a while.
No.
Yeah, it was. I haven't gotten the full story, but he almost lost his shit. It was really good.
Yeah, I would never live in Hilo. Well, listen, I have to go pick up the keys to our sublet, so let's wrap it up.
Your pied à terre.
My pied à terre.
I want to say that Well, aside from, like, taking every legal avenue to destroy this person's life, which is now my cause.
Right.
I'm also going to take positive steps. Like, I'm going to be more active.
In the bicycle community. And
bicycle and pedestrian safety activists and traffic redesign activists.
Right.
I really think it's such a huge issue.
And
cities are so important.
Yep.
Going forward.
Yep.
I'm sorry that you're opting out of the city experiment of the human race.
Yeah.
Because I think the future is actually bright for all this crap we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the only reason we're leaving.
I know.
The water's 78 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds kind of great.
Yeah. Embryonic. Well, not exactly.
Close.
Close enough. All right. Mahalo, dude.
Mahalo. All right. and then going forward in the future, we're going to be trying to, like, do remote. We're going to keep the efforts going. We'll try to get back on a schedule.
Yeah, we'll be Skypey or something.
We'll be Skypey. I'm not leaving until August, so.
Speaking of which, we have to have a party.
We do have to have a party. Lots of parties.
I was talking to Chris Solars last night.
Oh, yeah?
He wants us to have a party.
Nice. We'll do it.
Yeah, we should do it.
Yeah.
People are demanding it.
People want it. We will deliver.
All right.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Ta-ta.